May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. So this Sunday is the last Sunday before Lent. So on this coming Wednesday, March the 1st, will be Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent. And this is the Sunday when we celebrate the Transfiguration of the Lord. So a little bit of context for the story. In our liturgies, we've been reading, the lectionary has assigned readings from Jesus' first teachings in the Sermon on the Mount at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. And now we're skipping over quite a lot of the rest of that sermon, the rest of Jesus' teaching in that sermon, healing stories, stories of training and empowering disciples, and performing miracles. I think we're going to get back to it yet after Easter. But for now, our lectionary has moved us forward to this moment in the story of Jesus' life at the Transfiguration. And just before the passage that we just read this morning, Jesus has asked the disciples if they know who he is. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And the author of the Gospel, according to Matthew, then says, "From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." So from the moment that they recognized who he was, he started to teach them about the cross to come. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" So that's the last thing that Matthew has said in his gospel before the reading today, about acknowledging Jesus as Messiah, as the Son of God, Jesus beginning to teach his disciples about his upcoming crucifixion, and beginning to teach his disciples that they too will have great suffering in their future. So, Matthew says, then just 6 days later, 6 days after Peter's confession that Jesus is the Messiah and Jesus' rebuke of Peter's understanding of what it means to be the Messiah, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a mountain and is transfigured. That is, his appearance is literally changed right in front of them, so that while they recognize their Lord, they also perceive his heavenly glory in a way they had not before. And what's more, he is joined by Moses and Elijah, symbolic of the law and the prophets. So in Matthew's story, the transfiguration is a turning point, the time when Jesus, confessed as Messiah, revealed in glory, now turns steadfastly towards Jerusalem to offer a different picture of Messiah and of glory than anyone then expected. And what's more, When we have the reading at this particular point in the church year, it links three seasons together. So we're finishing the season of light and revelation that we call Epiphany. From today, we're pointing to the descent down the mountain. We're going down the mountain and following that road to Jerusalem, along with Jesus and the disciples, all through the season of Lent. And we're anticipating the glory of the Easter resurrection. So this is a pivotal moment in our lectionary. So what's going on in this pivotal story, in this transfiguration story, this moment in the life of Jesus and in the lives of Peter, James, and John? Well, I think, based on my own reaction in the past and by lots of the commentary I read, that we get dazzled by the bright light and the shining clothes and Moses and Elijah, you know, and we have a similar reaction to Peter, focusing on the amazing unbelievableness of it all, and we wonder how to understand it, how to cope with a story like this. You know, Peter was fumbling around and saying, well, let's build tents for everybody to stay in. And I don't think we do much better in our understanding of transfiguration very often. Well, maybe you all have, but I haven't. I think I've been missing the main point. And I believe the main point in this transfiguration story is Jesus. It's not the bright clothes, it's not the shining face, it's Jesus himself in prayer, talking with Moses and Elijah. And the rest of the account highlights the disciples' disorientation and incomprehension of what was taking place. So there's a place for us, too, to have that same misunderstanding, disorientation. But their fumbling attempts to take it all in are overwhelmed when God's voice comes out of the cloud, thundering from heaven, telling them to shut up and listen to Jesus, basically. While Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. Listen to the one who is telling you about the cross. Listen to the one who's telling you about the trials to come. Listen to the one who is telling you about loving one another until he comes back. And I think that's the main point of the whole story. You listen to him. And I think the best way to understand God is to look to Jesus and listen to him, to pay attention to what Jesus says and what Jesus does. We could read the Sermon on the Mount. We can pay attention to the people that he reaches out to, the people he gives attention to, and the people he helps. Pay attention. Who is Jesus? Because that tells us who is God. So there's a potential Lenten discipline, is to pick a gospel, or you can do all four if you're feeling particularly energetic, but pick a gospel and read through it, paying attention to Jesus, listening to him, listening to what he says and what he does. And so today, with this reading we have today, I think maybe the first words and actions of Jesus that we might look to are in today's gospel. Because after the disciples had heard the voice from the cloud, they fell to the ground and they were overcome by fear, which is the kind of thing that happens when God speaks to you out of the cloud. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and don't be afraid." Jesus came and touched them. He offered help. He said, "Get up And according to one of the commentators, it's not just get up, because the Greek verb that Matthew uses here is the same one that the angels declared to the women at the empty tomb when they said, "He's not here. He has been raised." So the verb that gets translated raised in that section gets translated get up in the piece we read today, but they're both the same word. So really, Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Be raised up. Be resurrected." So we can hear in Jesus' words a call to action that actually gives us the energy and the will to act, to make a difference, to be about the works of mercy and compassion to which God always calls us. He came and touched them, and they went down the mountain together. He didn't send them off on their own this time. He went with them. And he said, "Do not be afraid." Because God is God of the past, the present, and the future, and so we don't need to be afraid. God is the God of the future. That's not the same as saying we're not going to have any problems. There's not going to be anything to be afraid of. And it's not saying that we will avoid all harm and hardship. I mean, Jesus has just been telling the disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. He's saying, go out there and challenge evil in the world. That's what take up their cross means. Go out and challenge evil and be willing to suffer for that. So it's not that there's nothing to be afraid of. Do not be afraid. It's recognizing that when we trust God and believe that God is always with us, we don't need to fear. And that doesn't mean that fear is a sign of a lack of faith, because we all are frightened sometimes. We all are afraid. But it's recognizing that God didn't create us for death, but for resurrection. God created us for life. And so God does not want us to let fear paralyze us, but to move forward, even and especially in uncertain times, with courage and confidence. Listen. Listen to him. Be raised up. Do not be afraid. And I think it's important to remember that these words are said about our Lord and by our Lord as he refuses to stay on the mountaintop but comes back down again with the disciples into the realities of the world, into the realities of our lives, and as he makes his way to Jerusalem. There he will be tried, condemned, and crucified, because the world has no place for the encouragement and the hope he offers. But the story doesn't end with only the courage of one man defying the world. The story continues with the promise that God raised this one from the dead, so that all of us might have hope that there is more to this life than we can see, that God will be with us every step of the way, and that love and life are stronger than hate and death. Listen to him, and do not be afraid. Amen.